Shaping the Doorway by Pineapple Crush Face. Read by X-Man Hater. Summary. Meditations on Quentin's Tattoo. Around month 3 of mosaic building, when Elliot was starting to see patterns behind his eyes when he tried to sleep, Quentin freaked out. It wasn't exactly the first time. Quentin had a meltdown almost every day, and Elliot told him to buck up, Buttercup, and they moved on. Elliot's meltdowns were quieter, and he preferred to be alone. Not that Q wouldn't have understood and told him to buck up in his own way, but Elliot handled his shit by himself, and Q was pretty good about personal space. Somewhere around week 5, there was an argument about privacy that went on for 6 hours and ended with both of them bellowing that they were sick of even looking at each other's stupid fucking faces. But once they had hashed out some shift work, it blew over. And honestly, even when they didn't follow their shifts, Elliot didn't mind anymore. In the beginning, he sang to himself sometimes while he was working, but there was a stretch where he was too depressed and annoyed to even hum. After a week or so, Quentin said, "Do you think you could sing, maybe? I really like your voice." Then he sang whatever Quentin wanted him to, and put in a select amount of non-Taylor Swift requests of his own. Quentin had an abysmal singing voice, and Elliot loved it. This day's blow-up was different from the usual. On an ordinary day, it was a scraped finger or a series of tiles put in the wrong way that set him off, and he'd throw something down too hard and stalk off into the woods, coming back in a while with red eyes and all his temper worked out. Lately, those incidents were rarer, too, but he seemed distracted. "Elliot," he said suddenly, and Elliot jerked awake. He sat with his back against one of the big pillows they'd bartered for in the village, and he'd maybe had a little too much wine for lunch. The sun was at a comfortable angle, warming them but not getting in their eyes, and it smelled like freshly cut grass, because Quentin had learned to spell from one of the traveling salesmen, and, for a wonder, it had actually worked. They were about 50-50 when it came to traveling salesmen and dud spells. "Did it work?" Elliot asked, sitting up straighter. "No, no, it's never going to fucking work," Quentin said. His voice was shaking. "It's just, I really, really want to run away right now, El. I can't fucking do this anymore. I mean, what would happen if we just fucking left anyway?" He was sitting with his knees against his chest, curled up tight. There was something in the way his arms stuck out of his hoodie, bare wrists and listless hands, that suggested complete hopelessness. He stared out into the trees, and it took a minute for Elliot to realize he was crying. Quentin could really get himself going if you let him, and Elliot considered it part of his job here in the mosaic world not to let Quentin get himself going. "Come here," Elliot said, waving him over. He wasn't sure for a second that Quentin would actually obey him, because it was sort of an imperious request. But Quentin not only crawled over to him, he straddled Elliot's sprawled-out legs and slid his arms around him. It put Elliot in mind of a cat demanding to be petted, and he realized the moment Quentin did that it was exactly what he wanted him to do. How handy, he thought, pulling Quentin even closer and drawing his head down to his shoulder. Quentin stayed there a while, with Elliot making meaningless little soothing noises and succeeding only in almost soothing himself to sleep again. "I know I'm not going to run away. I just feel like... Elliot, I can't escape," Quentin said eventually, his voice thick. He rubbed his face on Elliot's shirt and Elliot nudged him. "Careful. I only have one of these and it's getting kind of threadbare," he said. "Sorry," Quentin said. "I've probably cried on you more than Julia at this point." "It's an honor," he said, "and I'm very comfortable to cry on. I assume that's the reason for the non-stop weeping around me, anyway." "Oh, I miss them," Quentin said. "I miss them so fucking much. How are you not going as crazy as I am?" "God help me, I think I'm actually thriving in this idyllic shithole," he said. "But that doesn't mean I don't feel it, too. Do you know how many times I've almost run away since we got here?" Quentin sat up. His chin was still wobbly, and he was a bit snotty and damp, and Elliot wished he didn't find it so fucking sweet, but he did. He had the urge to tap him on the nose, which he indulged, and was rewarded by a watery half-smile. "How many?" "Every night when I get into bed, I have to make myself stay there and not leave," he said. "But the thing is, I already know I wouldn't leave, so it's just me talking myself down. There's nowhere to escape to, no reason to leave and every reason to stay. And I know, intellectually, that if I stopped thinking about it, I'd feel better. If I accepted that whatever will happen, If I stopped going to sleep every night, dreaming about getting up and heading literally anywhere that isn't this spot, I'd feel better, but I can't. So I just wait out the impulse and fall asleep. Quentin was silent for a minute, eyes lowered somewhere around Elliot's chest. I couldn't take it if he left, he said. Oh, Q, I'd never leave without you, Elliot said, brushing the hair from his wet cheek. I mean, I'd also like to finish this quest because I want to fix what we broke, and I really don't want to go down as High King Elliot the Quest Abandoner, but being here with you means I can just barely tolerate it. You're not half bad to be stuck in a nightmare with. Imagine being here with Penny. Yeah, I guess you're not the worst I could do. Quentin's smile was always a little abrupt, like it was startled out of him, which Elliot had always liked because startling him was fun to do. He tucked himself back into Elliot's arms with a little shaky sigh, squeezing him tight, and Elliot admitted to himself that he liked the trusting weight of Quentin against him, solid and warm. He had been running his hand up and down Quentin's back for a few minutes before he noticed that every time his hand pressed on his upper back, Quentin shivered. "Does that hurt?" he asked, circling his fingers over the space between Quentin's shoulder blades. "God, no," Quentin mumbled. "Feels good, tattoo." "I forgot about that thing, or maybe I repressed it out of bitterness and envy," Elliot said, and made the executive decision to slide his hand up under Quentin's hoodie and t-shirt. The thing about Q was that everything about him was very soft. Or almost everything, Elliot amended, though his memories were a little fuzzy on that point. Touching him was as pleasurable and irresistible as touching an Angora blanket, and he liked to be touched, which Elliot thought was a stroke of excellent luck. It felt so good. Sue him, he hadn't had sex for 3 months in a few days. That he let his guard down a little more than he would have liked and didn't break the connection, breathing with him in the afternoon sun and the soft breeze. Quentin made a "mm-hmm" noise when Elliot continued running a hand up and down his bare back and relaxed against Elliot even further. It took a while to realize Q was asleep, his hands still clenched in Elliot's shirt, face mashed against his chest in an unfortunate way. He couldn't imagine being comfortable enough in that position to fall asleep, but that was Q for you, and he was really and truly knocked the fuck out. "Shit, all right," Elliot whispered, shifting just a little so Quentin wasn't cutting off the circulation in his legs. And after a few minutes, he was asleep too. For months after Quentin made the first move, it stayed a little awkward. Elliot couldn't figure out why. He'd had his share of awkward sex, obviously, but it was Quentin and it was him. They were good friends and they liked fucking each other. It shouldn't have been a recipe for tension, but every time they tried to talk about it, it got weird. Elliot was never sure it was even going to happen again. They'd go for weeks without touching each other, and then something would set them off, and Elliot would have him on his back, laid out on his bed, hands pinned above his head while Quentin cried out too loud, always unable to moderate his voice while he was getting fucked senseless. This time it happened because Elliot looked up while Quentin was changing. His jeans were still hanging on by a few threads, but he had finally had to turn his t-shirt into a wash rag, and he'd replaced it with a comfortable long-sleeved gray fillery shirt that he wore with his hoodie over it. He liked to sleep in Elliot's old shirt. It had no buttons left and was frayed several inches from every hem, but he wore it with his shorts to bed, and Elliot tried to find it annoying but couldn't. He liked looking across their little sleeping area to see Quentin curled up in his bed, hands tucked inside his two long sleeves. In the morning, he shrugged out of it and hung it on the hook next to his bed, and Elliot happened to turn at the right moment to see his bare back in the light, the Q in the tattoo suddenly stark and beautiful against his skin. His mouth dropped open a little bit, and he was on his feet, standing behind Quentin before he'd even realized it. Q gave him a curious look over his shoulder. "I keep forgetting about your tattoo," he said. "You just never seem like the type." He ran a thumb over the scrollwork and opened his mouth to say something about how pretty it was, but Quentin went suddenly very still. Elliot jerked his fingers away, an apology on his tongue. "Wait," he said instead, remembering. "The tattoo feels good, doesn't it?" Quentin nodded, breathing carefully in a way Elliot was starting to recognize as his "I have a boner and I'm trying not to" breathing. "Yeah, like a lot." "Really?" Elliot said, running a finger along the side of his neck, and that was all it took. Quentin turned fast and stood on his tiptoes to be kissed, and Elliot gave it to him, dipping his head down to taste him, to get his hands on his soft skin. Quentin pushed and pulled at him until he was sitting on the edge of Quentin's bed, then knelt between his spread legs. He was always a little flushed and jumpy when they first started, like he thought he was going to screw it up somehow, and Elliot would yell at him. But Elliot had to give him points for always knowing exactly what he wanted. He kissed his way up the inside of Elliot's thigh, his breath warm through the fabric, then undid the button on his pants and leaned in. Elliot stopped him with a hand on his cheek.
"Can I?" Quentin asked.
"Of course you can," he said, stroking his face, and Quentin gave a little catchy, eager gasp and bent his head. It was like a lock to which Elliot had the only key. Quentin always looked a little sulky at anything that got in the way of putting his mouth on Elliot's dick, but as soon as Elliot gave him permission, he shuddered and went absolutely mindless every time. Elliot wished he'd been the one to realize Quentin wanted it, but he couldn't give himself that much credit. He had noticed that Quentin always asked so politely, "Oh, can I please?" But he hadn't given it much thought until one night when Quentin, bright red and looking anywhere but directly at Elliot, said, "Do you think maybe you could make me ask for it sometimes?" He had thought at first that maybe Quentin wanted him to be a little mean about it, which wasn't exactly a stretch of Elliot's acting talent. But no, that wasn't the case at all.
"You're so good at this, Q," he whispered. "God, it feels good. It always feels so good."
Elliot didn't know where this particular little twist in Quentin's sexual makeup came from, and didn't care to question it. Not when all he had to do was give voice to how good he felt, and Quentin would fall apart like Elliot's words destroyed him. He ran his fingers through Quentin's hair with the kind of slow, deliberate touch that made him moan like he was the one being sucked off. Ran his thumb along Quentin's jaw and over his lips as he sucked. His eyes drifted shut, and he looked so out of it, so lost to what he was doing, that Elliot finally let himself be fully dragged under by the warm pull of his mouth. His breath started to stutter, and he let go of Q's hair so he wouldn't tug too hard.
"Do you want it like this, or do you want to stop so I can get us both?" he asked, panting.
"No, in my mouth, in my mouth," Quentin said desperately, hardly moving away long enough to speak. He licked the head of Elliot's cock before he started to suck again, which pushed him over the edge hard and fast, until he found Quentin's hand and held on tight, spilling into his mouth with such intense pulsing pleasure that he couldn't do anything but bite his lip and ride it out. It was always so fucking good here. He knew it wasn't just because it was fillery, though he'd had plenty of sex and fillery and knew that was at least part of it. A lot of it was due to Quentin. He couldn't discount that. There was something about sex with him that was like one of those spells that started off looking mild on the surface and just kept growing and growing until they became an entire fucking volcano. But it was mostly Elliot himself. It was good because he let it be good.
"Jesus," he said when his brain came back online. "Q, you really are a genius at that."
Quentin rested his head on Elliot's thigh.
"I love it," he said quietly. "I don't know if you knew that."
"I kind of guessed," he said, disentangling their fingers.
"What do you want me to do?" Quentin asked.
He was a little nervous again, Elliot thought, which was just strange. They'd done it at least a dozen times already, and somehow he only got more wound up instead of less.
"Here, stand up. Let me get you naked," Elliot said, pulling him to his feet.
He spent a lot of time undressing Quentin when he got the chance. There was always something so unexpected in every new bit of him Elliot uncovered, like he was different each time. One thing was the same, though. He always blushed hotly when Elliot slid his pants and shorts down. Why, Elliot had no idea, but the blush didn't seem to be a bad thing. His eyes flicked up to Elliot's and then away, then back again. His cock was so wet Elliot couldn't resist it, running his finger along the underside of it to gather the slick wetness there and then sucking on it. Quentin gave a harsh, shivery sigh and closed his eyes tight, and Elliot watched him for a minute, considering.
"I think I'll get you off with my fingers," he said, and Quentin made a sharp noise and swayed toward him. "Come on the bed, there you go."
"I think," Quentin said, kneeling on the bed.
I might come if I touch anything."
"That's all right," Elliot said, guiding his hands until they were curled in the linens.
You don't have to do anything except hold on.
He smoothed his hands over Quentin's back, not touching the tattoo, tracing out the spell against his skin until he knew it had worked, by the way Quentin's entire body tensed and shuddered. He knew how it felt, the sudden pressure and wetness, and loved to see how Quentin took it, loved the way he moaned like his heart was breaking when Elliot slid his fingers inside him for the first time. Elliot kissed the curve of his ass, sucked a little red mark into his skin, and gradually moved his way up until he was kissing the edge of that tattoo. Quentin went wild under him right away.
"Oh, Elliot," he cried, voice hoarse and tight. His entire body rocked under Elliot's mouth.
"Elliot, Elliot, oh my God."
Elliot stilled, hearing the sharp note of panic. "Do you want me to stop?" he asked.
"Jesus Christ, no," Quentin said, unclenching his hands from their iron grip on the linens.
I'm just about to...
Elliot moved his fingers again and sucked very gently at the edge of the tattoo.
"Fucking explode, Elliot. Fucking God."
His voice broke and he twisted against the linens. Elliot could tell he was trying not to and couldn't help it. He kept stop-starting and making the shakiest little desperate noises.
"I'm gonna come all over the bed, El, please."
"So go ahead," Elliot murmured against his skin and sucked harder. He kept the same pace with his fingers, slow and inexorable, always Quentin's weakness. Almost anything that felt good would make him go off if Elliot went at it long enough. And maybe the Elliot of old wouldn't have had the patience to kiss him until he came. But the old Elliot hadn't had Q shivering in his arms. The old Elliot thought he knew how to feel good, but he hadn't known this. "Here," he said, withdrawing his fingers and tugging Quentin up until he was kneeling in front of him. The linens were wet and he ran his hand over them.
"Look what you did."
Quentin was a mess. He was breathing hard, his face reddening when he looked down at the bed, eyes dazed.
"It's your own fault," he said. "I told you I was about to come."
"I know. You get off so hard on my fingers," he said, playing a hunch, and Quentin shivered even harder. "Do you want more?" Quentin nodded. He stared up at the ceiling, lip quivering. Elliot thought he might be about to come whether Elliot touched him or not.
"How do you want it?" Elliot asked.
"Can I?" he whispered, climbing into Elliot's lap and drawing his hand down between his legs. Elliot obliged, pressing his fingers inside again.
"Of course you can," he said, stroking Quentin's chin to pull him down for a kiss.
"Take what you want, sweetheart. You can have it." Quentin sobbed against his lips, and Elliot felt him tighten around his fingers, harder, harder.
"Please touch it,"
he said, jerking his hips down with a rapidly increasing urgency that said he was almost too close to stop, and Elliot automatically slid his free hand down Quentin's stomach, heading for his cock, but Quentin stopped him.
"No, the tattoo."
Elliot grinned up at him, delighted. Quentin really was an endless wellspring of sweet strangeness. He pulled him closer so they were flush against each other and kissed him again, still smiling, and placed his palm right over the cue in the tattoo.
"Are you trying to tell me the sex is actually good?"
Margot asked him a couple of years, 50-something years, later.
"Like semi-monogamous good? Because I've ridden that bike, baby, and the wheels came right off."
"I don't think he had come into his full powers then. He was but a young sex padawan," Elliot said, spotting Quentin across the room.
"Q, tell Margot about how you blew out the windows in the cottage."
Quentin said and fled.
"It took us 3 weeks to finish making new windows," Elliot said, examining his nails.
"The first time."
"Jesus," Margot said. "Well, congratulations, you smug dick."
Not every single day was about the mosaic. Once in a while, they all went into the village, or on a hike through the woods, or to the lake a few miles away if the day was sunny. They did it more often when Teddy was young enough to need supervision, and neither of them felt right keeping him cooped up around the cottage all day. One bright morning, they decided to spend the day at the lake and see if they could catch any talking frogs who might give them some advice about the mosaic. Quentin stripped first, unselfconscious and ready to get in the cool water, revealing the black markings on his back.
It was bigger now than it had been, with an A in the top right corner, an E in the top left, and a much larger T that united all three initials.
"Dad, where did you get that?"
Teddy asked, poking at Quentin's back.
"He was in a biker gang,"
Elliot said, twisting his hands into a spell for sun protection. He had no idea if there was even skin cancer in Fillory, but there were sunburns, and he'd dealt with enough of both father and child whining about them to know better.
"Really?"
Teddy waggled his arms when he felt the spell.
"No, motorcycles are dumb," Quentin said.
The corner of his mouth quirked a little bit into a private smile for Elliot, who knew Quentin's true feelings about men on motorcycles.
"It was for a ritual when I was younger, and then after you were born I had the rest of it done."
"But why?"
"Because you're all important to me."
Quentin tugged on Teddy's nose before he dove into the water.
"Is that really why?"
Teddy asked Elliot.
"It seems kind of extra."
"It was indeed extra," Elliot agreed.
"But that's your dad. He's the most extra."
"Did my mom like it?" Teddy, or no, he wanted to be called Ted now, and Elliot was trying very hard to get used to it. Always wanted to know how his mother had felt or thought about things. He was more like her than Quentin or Elliot, sweet and calm and curious, free of most of their issues by virtue of both nature and nurture. Elliot was as forthright as he could be with Teddy about Ariel, as with all things. Before he was born, the three of them had agreed to be as plain-spoken and honest as they knew how to be, which wasn't much for Elliot. In this life, at least, honesty had done him only good and never harm, and they felt their way through raising a child one careful step at a time, relying on the bare basics of love that he and Quentin would have scoffed at in their previous lives. It worked here. It had worked best with three of them, but Elliot thought he and Q were fumbling along all right, with her memory beside them. It was hard to impart the person she had been to Teddy through words, that was all.
"She liked it," he said. "We all did, because it was about us."
Quentin had come home with the expanded tattoo one evening when Teddy was about 2 months old. He had gone into the village, claiming they needed more chalk, and Ariel had gone out to pick peaches in the morning with the baby strapped to her chest, returned for lunch and handed him over to Elliot, and then went back out. Elliot spent the early afternoon working on the mosaic and watching over the sleeping baby, poking at him occasionally to make sure he was still breathing. He didn't get the hang of not fussing over Teddy's sleep until he was well into his toddler years, even with all of Ariel's watchful charms. It was nice to just sit and be quiet with him, listening to the occasional snuffle and snort, watching his hands opening and closing. His eyes were already turning brown like Quentin's. Elliot thought he looked a little bit like a frog, if he had to be honest, and Ariel agreed with him, but they waited until the baby no longer looked like a frog to say it to Quentin. When Ariel returned, he stopped working on the mosaic to make dinner with her.
"Does it seem like Q's been gone a really long time to buy chalk?"
Ariel asked after they'd eaten and were washing up.
"Maybe he got kidnapped," Elliot said. "He'd be so excited. He hasn't been kidnapped in years."
Ariel sighed.
"I'm going to get things ready for a locator spell."
But even as she turned, the door opened and Quentin walked in, looking guilty.
"Where have you been, young man?"
Elliot asked, flicking sudsy water at him.
Quentin said, pressing a kiss to the corner of Ariel's mouth and running his fingers over the top of Teddy's foot on the way through their little kitchen area.
When he had reached the sleeping area, he unbuttoned his shirt and tugged it off, keeping his back to them. Elliot wiped his hands on a towel before he and Ariel crowded around Quentin, each of them gripping a shoulder to examine his back.
"I didn't know we had anyone in the village who did tattooing," Ariel said.
"We don't. It took me a while to find someone in another village," Quentin said. "I wanted it to be a surprise. It's just, when I got the tattoo, the guy who did it said my name would be more and more important the longer I did magic. And I think, you know, he's right. But your names are as important, if not more, and I needed to make it more representative."
Elliot found himself unable to speak, running his fingers not over the tattoo, but around it, the skin shining with salve. The original had taken up a lot of space between his shoulder blades, but it was minimalist enough that it didn't seem all that big. Now, with the A in the top left, the E in the top right, and the T laid over it, the new marks connecting them, it reached halfway to his neck. The skin around it was pink and raised and painful-looking.
"What do you think?" Quentin asked.
I think, Elliot said, looking at Ariel, who nodded. This is going to be a good night for you.
Quentin let out a shaky breath.
Oh, yeah? He said. You like it?
We like it, Elliot said, kissing his shoulder.
A lot, Ariel added.
Good, Quentin said, still not looking at them.
Good, just gotta be careful of the...
Trust me, you will not be on your back, Ariel said.
Oh, Q said faintly.
Oh, Elliot agreed. Now, Elliot looked down at Teddy, who sat with his head tilted, watching his father swim, and said, It's not really that extra, I guess. The first tattoo didn't have great memories attached, so we made better memories with it.
Quentin turned around in the water and waved at them.
The giant snapping turtle is on vacation, he shouted. No wisdom bites today.
That's disappointing, Elliot shouted back, standing and pulling off his shirt. He always bites my ass. We have a thing.
He reached for Teddy's hand, and they made their way into the water. He woke when the light in the apartment, the gigantic Instagram-ready apartment that everyone appeared to be squatting in, was still gray just after dawn. Quentin, who had slept almost fully on top of him for 12 hours straight, was gone from the bed. They had tried for a touching reunion, they really had, but Elliot felt like actual death, and from what he could tell, Quentin hadn't slept more than a few minutes at a time for a while. And also, if Elliot was hearing correctly, was still recovering from some kind of egg hangover.
Egg hangover? He asked Penny.
That dragon egg, Penny said. We had to lick it, Elliot. You don't understand. Penny stared off into the middle distance, and Elliot patted his shoulder.
It's okay. You had to lick it. I get it, he said.
Elliot still had some bones to pick with the people currently passed out on every piece of furniture in the apartment regarding the fact they had let his body go around dressed like a warped tour roadie circa 2005. But his most pressing concern was Quentin. Well, and Margo and Fenn, because there was something going on there, too.
What in the turquoise sequined fuck had happened while he was gone?
Everyone was miserable, and Julia was suddenly wearing bell-bottoms, and he was starting to suspect he wasn't craving a drink, which was worrying. Quentin was the only concern he thought he might actually be able to deal with presently, so he set out in search of him, and got as far as three steps out of the bed before Quentin appeared with a cup of coffee.
Mine, Elliot said, reaching for it.
Some of mine, Quentin said, but gave it to him anyway. He curled on the bed, his face looking dirty from the dozens of little scabbed-over cuts and abrasions from the mirror, and grabbed onto his own feet, watching Elliot with unreadable eyes.
Q, he began, and then didn't know how to go on. He thought Quentin might leave him hanging, let him fumble his way through it, but his memory hadn't lied. Quentin was generous to him, always.
What were you doing in there all that time? He asked with a small smile.
Thinking about peaches and plums?
And murder, Elliot said. He sipped some coffee and groaned a little, wondering how polite he had to be about stopping this conversation for food.
I thought a lot about you, though. Not the murder part, the arguably more pleasant one.
What did you think about?
Elliot reached for him and stopped, not because he wanted to, but because he was still holding the coffee cup. He set it down on the West Elm monstrosity of a bedside table. Honestly, whose fucking apartment was this? And grabbed Quentin's hand, stroking his thumb over the soft skin of his palm. Quentin didn't pull away, but Elliot didn't think he would have regardless of how much Elliot had hurt him. He understood, Elliot thought. Here was a man who knew him, perhaps better than he knew himself. 50 years had made them experts in each other.
We aren't the Q and Elliot of that universe, he said.
Quentin looked up at him with bright eyes, so soft and comfortable in his flannel pajama bottoms and sweatshirt that Elliot wanted to stop talking and swoop him off.
Focus, he told himself. You didn't spend all that time practicing this like your Oscar speech for nothing.
I still don't think it would have been a good idea to jump into anything when we were still feeling like that Q and Elliot, like we'd been together for 50 years.
It was so beautiful, Q. I don't know if I can stand it if we try and don't ever get that again.
I know, Quentin said, and suddenly his eyes were very readable after all. He thought Elliot was backing off. He still didn't withdraw his hand, and Elliot was done in by him all over again.
How did he always just throw himself out there like that and stay out there? But this Q and Elliot, we work too, Elliot said. That was as far as he'd gotten in his speech without getting unduly maudlin, and he decided to stop there, hoping Q would get it. Yeah, we do, Quentin said. His voice cracked and he squeezed Elliot's hand hard. Elliot. He had reached the end of his rope, Elliot realized, and pulled him close. He climbed into Elliot's lap so eagerly that Elliot fell back against the headboard, laughing. But he didn't bother to right himself. He liked the feeling of Q straddling him, arms around him tight, face buried in his shirt. It was new and old, holding Q in this particular way, running his hand over Q's back and feeling him shiver.
"Tell the truth, has everything gone to shit while I was trapped in my own brain?" Elliot asked, kissing the top of Quentin's head. "Not everything," Quentin mumbled into his shirt, relaxing against him more and more with every pass of his hand. "I got to meet a river dragon." "Don't fall asleep, sweetheart," Elliot whispered.
"I'm not," he lied.
"Good, because I'm starving."
He slid his hands under Quentin's shirt to touch the thin raised lines of the tattoo.
"I missed this."
"Doesn't look the same as it did," Quentin said, sitting up. He looked tired and upset and hungover, and Elliot loved him more than anything.
More than he loved magic? He tilted his head, considering. Yes, more than he loved magic.
If he'd known this would happen when he first spotted the kid with the terrible name and the worried lion cub face, well, he would have run away. But he might have come back. It would have been worth it.
"That's kind of a good thing," Elliot said. "You never let us have any input into that tattoo, and it ended up looking like it said Q8.
Quentin gave his surprised laugh, but his face immediately crumpled a little bit. His hands twisted restlessly in the front of Elliot's shirt.
"I miss them," he said. "I was thinking about them a lot with you gone."
Elliot stilled his hands, brought them up to his lips, and kissed them.
"Me too. I wondered why my happy place wasn't there at the Mosaic. I miss it too much, I guess."
They sat in silence for a while, Elliot kissing his hands thoughtfully, biting his knuckles, while Quentin watched him with his eyes lit up in a way Elliot knew very well.
"Come on," he said eventually, nudging Q off him. "I'm about to eat you. Elliot needs breakfast, tacos, a shower, and someone to explain to me what the actual fuck is happening with Margot and Josh."
"Oh my God, I know. I'm so confused," Quentin said on his way out the bedroom door. "Maybe you being back will force someone to make a flowchart, because seriously, Elle, I have no idea what anyone is doing."
Elliot touched his fingers lightly to Quentin's back for a moment to stop him, bent down to kiss his lips in one long, sweet motion, and went out to have a very stern discussion with his friends about what had been done to his hair.
The end.